Let us turn now in our Bibles to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. We'll read together the whole psalm, and then we will hear God's words explained from verses 1 and 2. We'll read together Psalm 46. Let's begin. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He cuts the chariot in the fire. He still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. May the Lord bless his words to our hearts as we consider them. Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2. God, your refuge, strength, and help. Now, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, none of you will doubt that there are times in your life when things look dark and threatening. You've probably wondered if you could regain your health after a sickness, or if you would recover at all. You've probably wondered if you could find another job to support your family after losing a good one. You've probably wondered if a broken relationship with a loved one would ever be restored. You've probably wondered if you would be able to pick yourself up after a loved one died. Or you've probably wondered if your baby would be healthy. So in this case, even survive. In those dark times, you have probably wondered if God were really there, or whether he were really in control of all things. Today you will hear God's response. I've chosen this text partly because it was chosen for me. It's the text that the parents chose for young Serena. Our headings are the nature of God's blessing to the weak, the means of God's blessing to the weak, and the result of God's blessing to the weak. Our goals are that seeing God's presence and blessings in good times and in bad times, that you will all the more hold on to the Savior and love and worship him in good times and in bad times. First, we look at the nature of God's blessing to the weak. A song for Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, this song was likely sung by women, as signified by the word Alamoth. Alamoth means virgins, or it could be translated sopranos. So it was probably sung by women. Quite an interesting note. But it's what the song says that is so significant. The song asserts that God is your refuge. We will call it protection. God is your strength. Call it power. And God is your helper. He is present with you. He's present in times of trouble. His presence never leaves you. God is your refuge. Now, this is not a literal place that has high, thick walls, but an illustration of a spiritual place. We find this type of language is used throughout Scripture, and one of them is in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. Let's read together. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. So this describes a place of protection. God is your spiritual refuge all the time. The Hebrew word for refuge, and you'll learn a new Hebrew word today, is makasa. And in seminary, we tried to memorize words by associating it with other things. And this one is from makasa, a place of refuge. We said makasal, which is a way of place of safety, a safer protection. Just an easy way to remember it. The wall towers, or the towers that were built upon the walls of the city, were known for a place, for being a place of safety. You could run and watch at the enemies, but you were inside because you were protected by God. Look also at the similar language in Psalm 91, verses 2 and 3 together. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. God is my refuge. The walls around you are the walls of love, mercy, and power. But I want you to take notice that the Lord did not say, I will remove all your troubles. Life is not going to be lollipops and daffodils. But He's saying, you will have my protection. It's a misuse of the Scriptures to say that God will, if you just plead the blood of Jesus Christ, nothing bad will happen. That's why the Apostle Paul probably had his head cut off. That's why Jesus was crucified, and the Apostle Peter as well. That's why the Apostle James was sawn in two. The Lord doesn't say that there will not be troubles. And yet He says, I am your refuge. I am your place of protection. So what does He mean then? He's speaking then of the soul. Serena's soul was safe. Parents were concerned about her life in the hospital. But would they worry about her soul? No. The Lord's protection is there. He says, I am your refuge. Second, God is your strength. The walls of refuge keep you safe, but you need someone with the power to fight against the enemies. And when you are in Him, when you are in Christ, He adds to you the power to fight against the devil, the world, and your flesh. And isn't that what the baby needs? Isn't that what your children need in their life? You know, the baby in the hospital who's sick can use antibiotics, and they are a blessing. But what the child really needs is the strength of God to protect her from the wicked one. The strength that He gives to her that will say no to sin and yes to righteousness. And God will be your strength. Psalm 46, verse 8, this is just later in the same chapter. He says together, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. The one who sets himself up against God is destroyed. The nations that threaten the people of God are destroyed. The devil, who is that sneaky snake who's out to destroy, is then trapped, chained, because God is strong. Psalm 18, verse 2, together. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. See, God didn't say your children will never get a cold, and if your child gets a cold, it means you lack faith. He said, no, I'm the one who will keep you from the real danger. Now, of course, God can protect you and keep you healthy and prevent you from getting sick. But that's the small things. The big thing here, the Lord will protect you from the greatest enemy of all, sin, death, and hell. And then third, God is your helper in time of trouble. You see, you have God's protection, and that's good. He is your refuge. He's your protection. And it's also good that God is strong and able to save. But you see, the story now must come together. He's got to be present to use his power in his place of safety. And he's saying, I am with you. I'm your helper in times of trouble. It is interesting, too, that the word here used for trouble is sometimes translated rival wife. The times of trouble, rival wife. And you think, why would this word be used for rival wife? Well, what could be bigger trouble than that? Something that affects the most intimate relationship in the world would be a husband-wife relationship. There's nothing closer. And suddenly you have someone else on the side. You think, what greater danger to the foundation of society than the family and the marriage? And God is saying, I'll be there to deal, because I've got the power, I've got the place of safety for you to fight against that rival wife, to fight against the worst trouble that you could have. Isn't that an affection that we see in the scriptures too? We talk about being children of the devil, or the wicked being the bride of the devil. But God is present with power to help, and so you are protected. He's always there with you. Which mother can say that? Even a mother can't be around all the times. And mother will be there and help and protect and see when the children are doing foolish things and stop them or protect them from an enemy. But even mothers can't be around all the time, but the Lord is. What lessons can we learn? First of all, as God's child, you never need to worry. God is your protector. God has a hedge around you. No one can touch your body or soul unless God permits it. And this is what the devil confessed about Job. He said to God, you got a hedge around him. I can't touch him. I'd like to touch him. And even if God wants you to die, isn't that ultimately a greater blessing for every Christian? If God does permit the devil to touch you, even to take your life, where are you going? Is it punishment for sins? No. It's your entrance into eternal life. So you don't need to worry. God is your protector. Your soul is in good hands. Second, our doubts, despondency, and death, these gifts from Satan, too much for God? Couldn't God heal you if he wished? What about these civil leaders now? You see some of the sick things they're doing. They want to put wicked men in bathrooms with little girls. Or the Supreme Court of Canada, who recently ordered the state to allow the killing of the old, the sick, and the suicidal. Well, the answer is this. You don't need to worry. God is tougher than Trudeau. He can do anything he wants. Trudeau is limited by Almighty God. not God. The Supreme Court justices, they will have to appear before the court of Jesus and give an account for every wicked law they create. And they shouldn't be creating laws in the first place. But they'll have to give an account to God. We don't need to be afraid of that. God has the power. The wicked have limited temporary power. And God removes troubles whenever he wants. So you see why you don't need to worry about the troubles around. You have God. He is your protector. You also see that God has the power to fight against these things. Those things shouldn't overwhelm you. Is a fever too hard for God to remove? Certainly not. And then third, is the Lord ever missing from being near you? Never. He is a present comfort. He's the only one who is always there for you. You know, people like to say that. Oh, you've got troubles, I'm there for you. And then you call them and you think, oh no, they're sleeping or they've gone someplace else and you can't find them. Who's the one who was truly always there for you? The Lord alone. He is with you when your loved one dies. He's with you when you lose your job. He's with you when you have a fight with your boss. Or when that personal relationship ends, he is always there. You never suffer alone. You never suffer too much. The Lord is there. He didn't say he will take them away. He never says you will not have a broken heart. He'll never say that your loved ones will never die. But he's saying, I am there with you. Your soul's safe. I'm there with you. So what's the means of these blessings? You hear that God is your refuge and God is your strength, the power that protects you, and God is present with you. How is it that God comes near you? We learned that we're all sinners. That's the second point. How does God become your refuge, strength, and helper? How do you get those benefits? God becomes your refuge, strength, and helper through Jesus Christ alone. Look at your sermon notes. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, together, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You want protection? You want true safety? It's in Jesus Christ alone. Will you get sick? Might you get cancer? Yeah. But will you have rest for your souls? 100%. Matthew 18, verse 11, together. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. He brings you in. He finds the wanderer. Read Ezekiel 34. He says the sheep are wandering. He brings them in, keeps them safe. He says, I am the door. What did Jesus do so you could get these blessings? He defeated sin and death and hell, the worst enemies of all. This means there's no one else in any other religion who could get these benefits. He came as man, we touched on that earlier, to meet God's demands. Man sinned, man had to die. He had to be God because he had to be great enough to die for the sins of the whole world. And only Jesus met those qualifications. And by trusting in Jesus, you have been adopted as sons of God with eternal life. And if it's eternal, as I always say, it can't stop being eternal. Otherwise, it wasn't eternal in the first place. And this psalm was likely David's reflection as he thought of God's protection and power and presence through the wars he fought with the surrounding nations. And notice how he recognized that God was the true victor, that God was the source of victory. The credit was God's, not his. So how do you get these blessings? You know, there's a famous man, and he's since passed away. But one of the things he liked to emphasize, if it's got to be, it's up to me. Not true. Life from hell. That man was the most widely heard preacher in the universe. And that's the kind of foolishness that came from his mouth. If it's got to be, it's up to me. No, it's up to God. And that's what David does. He points to the fact that God is your refuge. God is your strength. God is your present helper in times of trouble. What lessons can we learn then from this second point? Know that the world fakes peace. They pretend they have peace. But they have no place of refuge. They fight in their own strength, and they have no true comfort in their hearts. When there's an absence of strife, they think they have peace. But they're still God's enemies who will meet the Lord in battle, and he will defeat them, and he will damn them to hell. Don't be jealous then of the world. When you see the world, they seem to be healthy and happy, and their children don't have difficulties like your children. You struggle to discipline them. You struggle to teach them truth. They seem to frustrate you. Don't be jealous of the world. What do they have? You know what you have. You have the Lord's protection that came through the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't be jealous of them. And when your children go in the way of the Lord, when they stay in his protection, don't take credit for what the Lord is doing. Give him the praise. So what do you do about the world? Show pity to the world by telling them of the only way they could get that protection, power, and presence of the Lord for eternity. In other words, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Yeah, they may look like they have it all. They may have the fancy cars and the huge houses, and they can take the holidays to the exotic places. Don't be jealous of them. That's all they've got. They may have the secure alarm system, and you got a little bolt that you push hard, it'll probably break open. But that's all they've got. Their souls are in mortal danger. This means you tell them about Jesus. This is evangelism. And then what's the result? The third point then. God is our refuge. That's something we need. He's the means by which we get that protection through Jesus Christ. And what's the result? Therefore, we will not fear. As a result of receiving what Christ acquired for you, you will fear no one else. You will fear no one else. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, together, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. Now, when we hear that we will not fear, this is not attacking good fear. And there is good fear. Like fear that keeps you from going to the edge of a cliff. This is referring to bad fear. You will not have bad fears. And what are examples of bad fears? Like fear of getting sick and dying. That's not a good fear. So if you get sick and die, what's the worst thing can happen? You go to someplace better, where you'll never be sick again, in perfect happiness and joy forevermore. There's no reason to fear that. Or fear that your soul can be lost. Well, we talked earlier about the assurance that the Holy Spirit works in you. Or some people are afraid, I'm going to lose my job. Well, that's not a good fear. Who's the one who will protect you? Look at what you already have. Or fear of your child dying. You know, it's a tough thing. You have a little one and you're not sure. And some of you know here who've had babies, young babies, and you sort of think babies born prematurely, and you wonder about whether they're going to survive. And fear can take over. Some people are afraid of getting poor. What will happen if I can't afford all of these things? There's no reason to fear these things. Remember the story of Mordecai, who Haman wanted to destroy him. He just stood his ground. Why? Because he knew in whom he believed, and he was persuaded that the one in whom he believed will keep him to that day, as the Apostle Paul told Timothy. Look at an example of this reminder of God's loving protection that removes fear. Psalm 23, verse 4. Together, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In the time of fear, it was comfort. When fear could take over, when you fear about the worst possible thing that could happen, many of you know Johnny Erickson Tada, that lady who was paralyzed from neck down. You know, something like that happens, you think, oh no, what good could come out of this? Look at what the Lord has done through her. Look at the life she has touched, even as she sits in a wheelchair and speaks. One more, Psalm 27, verse 1. Together, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You see the big thing there? I'm saved. Sickness? Yeah. Do you like sickness? No. Do you like to lose your job? No. But if those things come, they don't take over your life. Why should I be afraid of those things? The Lord is my light and my salvation. And then there's, as we conclude, you look at these two parts that are mentioned. The fear is removed, even though the earth be removed. What does this mean? Even though it might seem like the whole earth or the land, this is really referring to Israel, is in chaos, that defeat might be looming on the horizon, you don't have reason to fear. Why? Because the Lord is your light and your salvation. This wasn't speaking here of the shifting of the earth's crust. When the Bible uses earth, the word, or sometimes it's translated earth, it could easily be translated land. And it's usually referring to the country or the earth itself. Psalm 46, verse 3, the same chapter we're looking at, verses and 6 and 7. Together, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. So regardless of what was happening in the land, in the country, there was economic or political chaos. He is saying, you have no reason to fear. You know, it's very easy, and I think about that. You think of what happened in Orlando this morning. When you think of these ISIS people threatening Toronto, and picking Scarborough out in particular, it's very easy to fall into that fear. So what if you died? So what if you were injured? See, if you let that take over, that's when the devil wins. But you need to remember the Lord has your soul. He has your soul. Though the earth be moved, the earth be removed, shift around, you're safe. And then look at the other side. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Why is that point? What's the point? Well, the whole place is the land. So what would the mountains be? The principal people of that land. The Lord uses that kind of expression consistently in the Bible as well. We'll look at a few in a minute. But he's saying you don't have any reasons to fear, though you have troubles all around, and there are political upheavals and there are fightings within the land. And there were political upheavals at the time, the death of King Saul, the wars with the Philistines and some of the surrounding nations. David, as he's reflecting, he's thinking, wait a minute, the Lord is the one who keeps us. The nations, don't fear them. The people, the political leaders, don't fear them, because the Lord is with you. Look now at the passages. Jeremiah 51, verse 25 together. Behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain, who destroys all the earth, says the Lord, and I will stretch out my hand against you, roll you down from the rocks, and make you a burnt mountain. You notice, O destroying mountain? This wasn't referring to a literal mountain, but the leaders. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 through 14, together. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of the heaven fell to the earth, and a great fig tree dropped its late figs when it was shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it was rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And you think, wow, this sounds like the end of the world, except that you read in chapters like Isaiah 13. This is language that's speaking of people and nations and leaders. The sun and the moon and the stars were not literal. It couldn't be literal. Can you imagine a star falling on the earth? That's not possible. But this is speaking of prominent people. And it's consistent with the scriptures. Remember Joseph. He had a dream. What did he dream? The sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowing down to him. What was that pointing to? Prominent people. And here it's the same thing. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though you have this all this chaos from the leaders, all the troubles they cause, don't be afraid. Not just sickness, but political troubles, national wars. One more, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26. Together, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but the heavens. That's speaking of the time that was coming. There'll be one violent shaking, referring to the destruction of Jerusalem and the troubles that will come upon the land at that time. Now, can you imagine how many times Israel sang this song? Surely Israel sang the song when Sennacherib invaded Israel and every other tyrant posed a threat to the people of God. And can you understand why Martin Luther loved this song so much? He wrote it in song form. We'll sing it shortly. The Lord is our refuge. The Lord is the one who will protect us. The Lord who has power to conquer the enemy. The Lord who is present with his people. There were many threats from Luther faced, that the church faced, from the leaders of the time. Philip II, Charles V before him, leaders of the Holy Roman Empire. Then they had to face threats from the Pope and his people. Then they had to face threats from Roman Catholics all around. There's no fear. With all these promises, and then with the fear removed, removal of the fear, can Serena, her family, can New Horizon, can the Christian church worldwide, what can they expect in the future? Then based on the promises of God, God will fulfill what he has said. God will fulfill what he has said. What has he said? Did he say you will never get troubles? No. But he says, and let's read from Haggai chapter 2, verse 22, together. I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother. This is speaking then of the conquering of the nations. Haggai and Zechariah speak of the return of the children of Israel to Judah, the rebuilding of the temple, and the readying of themselves to spread the kingdoms around the world. That's the picture. This will be done by the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, rightly proclaimed. So what lessons can we learn from this third point? The results of God's protection. Well, take the time to think about it for a minute. What troubles are you facing now? Or maybe you've recently faced sickness, uncertainty, unemployment, heartbreaks, loneliness, death of a loved one. Does your world seem turned upside down? Is there chaos in your life? Think about the troubles the church is facing now from a wicked civil government, from judges, from false religions. There's a consistent attack against Christian freedom. So is Serena's life going to be smooth if we just plead the blood of Jesus upon her life? Very little chance of that. Her birth troubles, who are severe, they're nothing. She will likely face greater trials, spiritual trials. But do not be afraid. You have a wall around you. You have a strong God protecting you. You have a strong God present with you. And all of this you get through the work of Jesus Christ. It's not alarm force that announces they'll keep you safe. It's Jesus Christ and his work. And he assured you that whatever is in his hand, no one can pluck out. The church will continue and the church will flourish. This is the promise that you and your children must embrace. And what's the opposite of fear? Rejoicing. This means you worship God. God is your refuge. Worship him. Let's conclude. So do you have big troubles? Big deal. Or, in a way, we can say, maybe not such a big deal. Why? Because God is your protector. He has the power to help, and he is present to help. You're guaranteed help because you are God's child through Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, if you feel overwhelmed, don't be. You belong body and soul, in life and in death, to Jesus. Sing that song. Do not be dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Instead, commit your troubles to God's charge. He will protect you. If he wants the trouble to touch you for a while, he has the power to stop it whenever he's ready. But remember, even if you go through these troubles, you are never alone. And even if you die from the troubles, you'll be transferred to the heavenly refuge. And I invite you to invite others to the place of refuge. If you're not a Christian, though, you're outside of God's refuge. You're a toy of the devil. You are in mortal danger. Why not ask God to open up the door so you could enter in? Jesus said, I am the door. He paid the price for sinners to enter in. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, that you are our protector. You are the one strong enough to keep us safe from the devil who's out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You are ever present with us. So where we are never alone. Let this sink into our hearts. That the troubles we experience in this world, and we will experience those troubles, will never overwhelm us. Our friends may fail. Families may flee from us. You never do that. So may we go out living for you, worshiping you, telling others about Jesus, inviting others into this place of refuge that is in Jesus Christ alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.